Welcome to The Point. I'm Indy Todd. Today, we discuss two of the many music festivals happening in our region this summer. Later in the hour, we talk with organizers and performers from the Cape Cod Women's Music Festival, now in its 10th year. But first, the Meeting House Chamber Music Festival celebrating their 50th anniversary season. Joining us to talk about the enduring legacy of the festival, led by Donald Enos, is cellist, chamber music artist, and educator, Amit Palad. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Great also, to be on the show.
Also with us is violinist Joyce Hammond. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Mindy. So nice to be here.
You know, it would be impossible to do each of your careers justice in the short time that we have. You've performed internationally on big stages and intimate settings. You can choose where and with whom you perform, and you choose the Meeting House Chamber Music Festival. Talk about why you keep coming back and what makes this festival so special for you as musicians. And Joyce, why don't we start with you?
I think one of the things that makes it so special is that at this point, it's a home. It's a home with Donald. It's a home with the audience. I've known some of them for 20 years now. His choice of music is always eclectic, interesting, challenging. There's something about the feel of performing in that hall with the way people are listening and with the joy with which Donald brings the music to them, which I adore. I love it.
Amit, what about for you?
Well, same thing as Joyce said. It's just, it really home. But for me, the extra 2 points I would add is, first, I studied on the Cape. I lived there for 3 years. So I started playing with Donald as a student there, and I've known some of the audiences really since they had gray hair, and now it's very white. So we and I grew up with my family, with my wife, with my kids, and we always come to the Cape as a family, so it is home. But also, it's a place to experiment musically. Donald and I love to do new pieces, and I always try. I mean, now more than 15 CDs. I think I've tried the program first with Donald, including concertos. He's happy to try to learn any piece, and the audience is just happy to hear it. And I always explain them about it. It's really my musical laboratory. Mm. So when you include home as your music laboratory, it's really fun. And I have to say, now my kids are much older, but they still fight to come to one festival every year, and it's to the Cape. Yeah. So this is really a special place for all of us as a family.
And this is a special year because it's the 50th anniversary of the festival. I mean, how is the festival celebrating this milestone?
Well, I think just in the same way. We just do the same same approach to music, same approach to audience. We know our audience. We know that it will be a packed house. And the packed house is because they know what we will give them. It's full heart and soul. And I think Donald just wanted to keep the same because it works. So why changing? Right. So we are celebrating 50th year, I think, just appreciating the fact that we can all be there, audience and artists together.
Yeah, like you said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
So, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. The festival finds a balance between contemporary and classics. Joyce, who are some of the contemporary composers that are part of this year's festival?
Well, just on my program itself, it's Rebecca Clark, a piece that I had not known at all, and he listened to and found and immediately we said, yes, let's embrace it. There's going to be a piece by, what is his name, Nino Rota, who is the composer who wrote The Godfather, and that's going to be for viola. That's just on my program alone, mm-hmm. and I think on every program, he's always introducing something to challenge the audience. And just to follow up with what Amit has said, the festival that Donald has done is he has created a trust with the audience. Mm-hmm. So even if he's taking them to a land that they don't know if they've packed well for, he will make them comfortable. And he's introduced many works to us as musicians and to the audience. And it's sometimes they don't like them, mm-hmm. but they've still learned from them. Other times they fall in love. So it's worth the trip.
Yeah. Amit, we have a short clip of you performing with Festival Artistic Director and pianist Donald Eno. So what can you tell us about this piece before we hear it?
Well, it's a Barber Sonata. And again, it's a piece that nobody wants to play in concerts, but I absolutely love. And we did a program last year. We called it American Landscape. And what a better place to do that than Cape Cod. And the climax of that program was the entire Barber Sonata, which Donald was so eager to learn. And the audience loved it. They simply loved it. And it's not an easy piece to play. There's not an easy story behind it. It's just before the Second World War. But everybody loved it. And I'm so happy that we can share a few seconds from it with the audience.
Joyce, what are some of the things that you're really excited about to bring to the audience in this year's festivals? You touched on some of it, but is there something that's really exciting you?
Well, I'm thrilled to be doing the Schubert Trout again. I've played that with Donald, I don't even know how many years ago. A couple of things are exciting to me about it. My husband, who's a bass player, this time won't just be coming up and eating steamers. He'll be performing as well. And my son will be there too. And I second the idea of what a wonderful family experience this has been for all these years. And I started coming up to the Cape actually prior to Donald playing in another series. And so I've been there pre-children. I've been there when I was still a child, and now I'm a mother, and it's been wonderful. But I'm very excited to do the Schubert Trout, and that it's just a fun romp for the audience and for all.
And we have another clip. This is Schumann's Quintet with Joyce. You're playing first violin. What do you want to tell us about this before we hear it?
Put on your seatbelt. It's a lot of fun.
Amit, in addition to performing, you're also educating the next generation of musicians. And we hear about differences amongst generations in terms of how they interact with technology or their expectations for their careers and futures. Are there things that you're seeing in this next generation of musicians that sets them apart from previous generations of musicians?
Absolutely. Well, first I have to add about education that one of the highlights of one of the years that I came was to bring my students with me to the Cape. So we have what we call a cello gang, and I play with former and current students from Peabody, and we all came to the Cape and the community. We came actually from Mexico. We played there, and we flew right to Boston, took the bus, and people in the community gave instruments to five of my students because they didn't have their cello with them. And that connection was amazing. And performing there was great. And then I brought my orchestra, which is a bigger chunk of my students. So it's really fun to bring them to the Cape and for them to witness that as well. And to your question, yes, they're very different. I call it the text generation. Their concentration is very short. It's very hard to keep them engaged in that sense, also to create curiosity for them. So I think a big part of what I try to do as a teacher is to take them with me, as I mentioned, on the road, to put them on stage with me, to make them equal artists. They always get paid for it, and to make them realize what it means to actually perform and not to make a recording for YouTube. It's a very different mindset.
Yeah.
Just the sound production, just the ability to sit on stage, the ability to experience making mistakes, touring, waking up early in the morning, catching a flight, being prepared because you get paid, all of those things. So I feel that this generation lacks it a little bit because all they want to do is to record the 2 minutes that will maybe get them into the festival or the gig that they need to do. And many times they don't even meet the artist until they actually get the job. So a big part of my teaching is to conclude the cycle where you actually take them, make them equal and put them on stage. So it's funny that you ask this because I wanted to mention this and the connection to Donald being so open to bring the cello gang and bring Mount Vernon Virtuosi and so on. So it's really great.
I love that you call it the cello gang. Joyce, is there anything you want to add to that, that you're seeing with younger musicians?
Well, I think that I think that you have an older crew than I have. I started teaching during the pandemic. I'm living in Westchester now, upstate New York. I had moved from living in the city. And so I'm teaching kids from age 9 to 17. So it's quite a different thing. Most of them are beginner to middle range. And one of the big differences I've noticed on the good side with tech is that music is so handy for them to get to. They can hear anything that they want to hear. One of the big differences I've noticed from when I grew up is that they don't have the same feeling of we need to have really studied to be able to do something. Maybe they should have it a bit more, but they have a sort of a feeling of I can look on YouTube, you know, the famous YouTube. I can look on YouTube and learn how to do something. I can hear how a million different artists play this. I can immediately get instruction on, let's say, spiccato. I had a student want to learn spiccato. He came in prepared to the lesson saying, I listened to 15 different instructors tell me about spiccato. What do you think? And this is not something that I had at my fingertips in growing up. You only had that teacher. So tech is good in that way. I agree that the attention span is difficult, but I'm finding that the kids who I get who want to study music, they come from a family where that's already encouraged to have the longer attention span.
Art education is so important for all kids. If you had the ear of school administrators, what would you tell them about the importance of music education specifically?
I would say that it's as important as science and languages. I mean, it is a language. Mm-hmm. You know, why studying only second language and do Spanish? Second language could be music. And I think especially in democracy, it's the only language that forces you to listen. Other languages, you can fake listening. And then when you argue or when you vote, when you're older, you don't maybe know why you're voting for that person. However, in music from age 5 on, you're forced to listen. Otherwise, it falls apart. So I think as far as creating citizenship, creating people that are good citizens, music will help in that sense. I am absolutely believing in it, totally.
What a beautiful, beautiful way to think about that. One of the things, just to add to that, that I've noticed is that music teaches kids that you can start off with knowing nothing. You can't do it. And then just step by step by step, all of a sudden you can do what you thought was impossible. And I think that's a life lesson. And in music, you're so aware of it because it sounds awful. Then all of a sudden you're able to play something. You don't feel it in that same way with science and math. You don't put it to use. And I just think it's wonderful for kids to see that they can succeed in that way.
Yeah. What trends are you seeing in audiences for classic and chamber music? Are performances attracting the younger demographic, and are festivals and organizers making an effort to appeal to younger audiences?
Do you want to be first?
I do a lot of alternative music. So I play with a lot of jazz and pop musicians, as well as doing classical. And so the people that I work with, it's oftentimes integration of many different things. With Donald, I feel like he's been able to draw the young audience because he always has something on the program, I feel, that is going to appeal to them, or he has in the notes something for them to grab hold of. Like in this concert, you know, it's the composer who did the Godfather soundtrack. So they're gonna respond to it. But I think as far as classical music, it's been very difficult. We've seen many chamber groups close and orchestras close. And that's one of the reasons that Donald's going on for 50 years is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really see it here in New York.
Yeah, I have to say that I think it hasn't changed because it's older generation that goes to concerts. But I think if there's anybody to blame is us performers, classical musicians. I think we should be more communicative with our audiences. We should be able to do what Pablo Casals and the old generation used to do, to go between every town in America and play, and not just in Carnegie Hall. The great old masters, Jascha Heifetz, Pablo Casals, Rubinstein, they would start in New York and take the train, and it would take 3 months to get to San Francisco. That would be a tour. And they would be rock stars because they would go to every single town and they would stay. I found a review when I played the Pablo Casals cello. I found a review of his concert in 1917 in Duluth, Minnesota, where the reviewer praised him for staying for an hour and a half after the concert to talk to each member of the audience. Now you have to think, 1917, Pablo Casals was the Beatles. I mean, yeah. He was, and he stayed. And first of all, he came to Duluth and he took a boat, a ferry on the big lakes to get there. And then he stayed for an hour and a half to talk to each member. That's a great lesson for us performers. You know, talk to your audience, break those walls. That classical music is as exciting as any kind of music. It's a way of communication. If you're able to show it to the audience, you might get people that maybe think you're a nerd before that.
The media.
Yes, but
go ahead. Go ahead.
I think there is a difficulty of attention span, though, with classical music. And again, I think it comes down to programming. And if somebody programs 3 Beethoven sonatas on one program, it's not going to hold the same interest that it perhaps would have held 30 years ago for that audience group. And I think one of the things that Donald does that has not been done since the 20s and 30s is, for instance, to put a concerto on a program with what you're doing. I mean, nobody does that.
Yeah.
And it's some of the greatest music out there. Why do you have to go to a concert hall to hear it?
Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
No, just to add to it, because I'm the one that almost every year plays the concerto with
you. Yes.
This used to be done. So it's not our invention. For also when Beethoven wrote his pieces, they would play one movement at a time and then there would be a symphony and then a singer. And people would clap between movement, which is now unheard of, but why not? Mm-hmm. So and it's our fault in the presentation.
Yes, I mean, it became too specialized and it just has to become the people's music again. And and do one movement of a sonata. It doesn't have to be the whole thing.
All right, the Meeting House Chamber Music Festival gets underway with a special concert June 16th in Orleans and carries on through the month of July. We'll post a link with more information at our website, capeandislands.org. Cellist Amit Peled and violinist Joyce Hammond, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Coming up after a break, we talk with performers and organizers of this year's Cape Cod Women's Music Festival. You're listening to The Point. Our region offers ample opportunity to take in live music, but if you want to hear some of the best female singers, songwriters, and musicians, you won't want to miss the Cape Cod Women's Music Festival. Now, in its 10th year, the festival brings local and national female musicians from various genres to showcase their music and share their stories. And all the proceeds benefit the nonprofit Cape Wellness Collaborative, which supports people in our community that are living with cancer. Joining us is the founder of both Cape Wellness Collaborative and the Cape Cod Women's Music Festival, Sarah Swain. Hi, Sarah. Good to see you again.
Hi. So good to see you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Also with us is Courtney Wittenstein. She's from the festival and Provincetown musician and singer-songwriter Zoe Lewis. Welcome to you both.
Hello. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, Sarah, you're the founder of the Cape Cod Women's Music Festival and the Cape Wellness Collaborative. Give us a little backstory on how they came to be.
And actually, it's a really funny story. It was about 2012, and I'd always wanted to do something to honor my mother. who had passed from ovarian cancer at a very young age. And I was initially thinking, you know, when people want to raise money for a cause, you know, you always hear about 5Ks. So I thought I was thinking, oh, I'll start a 5K, but I don't run. So that was the first barrier. And then I just thought, wait a minute, I've always wanted to do some kind of music event for women. I think being a female musician my whole life and always just feeling like I was sort of the token woman in certain events or, you know, feeling like in general, culturally pitted against other female musicians. And then when we did get together, it was always awesome and wonderful. And I just wanted more of that. And, you know, there's just so many incredible female musicians in general, and especially in our region. So I had the idea to do the Cape Cod Women's Music Festival. And really, for me, initially, it was a place for me to like put my grief that I really had built up at that point and just, you know, do something bigger than myself. And I had never run an event before, and I was totally terrified. I was pregnant with my third child at the time, and I had no idea what I was getting into. But it's just been amazing as the Cape Cod Women's Music Festival led to the development of Cape Wellness Collaborative, which gives free of charge integrative therapies like massage, acupuncture, yoga, healthy meals to people facing cancer on the Cape. And that's anyone, male, female. Mm-hmm. And so it's just been a really like beautiful event that's grown every year. We've sold it out every year, and it's just feels like this really beautiful celebratory evening that celebrates and shines a light on female creators or women creators. And also, it goes to such a great cause, and it just feels like almost this like group healing every time we're all together. And there's, it's just a really special event.
So how has the festival changed since the first year back in 2012? I mean, I'm sure you're now a little bit calmer as the festival's coming, still a little bit nervous, but a little bit calmer, but how has the festival itself changed?
It hasn't changed all that much in the like core spirit of the event. I feel like has stayed like really strong throughout. I think we've gotten better at the details, and we've gotten better at, sort of coordinating the evening. We've changed venues. Mm-hmm. We are now at PAOMET, where this is going to be our second year at PAOMET Center for the Performing Arts in Truro. And they've been incredible partners for us. I can't say enough about them. So we've gotten in bigger and bigger venues. We started out at the Watt Theater, and now we're, I think, three times the audience size.
Yeah. Courtney, the festival is a mix of local musicians and national musicians, so there's so much talent. How do you create the lineup from year to year?
Well, I think Sarah has a lot to do with that, but, there's so many great local musicians too that, we feel like deserve a space on the stage and just bring that magic. And I think every single year, I got turned on to the festival as a attendee several years ago. And then, I started to sneak backstage and then I was like, I'm never leaving. and so every year it's different, but it creates the same magic. And I think we really want a diverse group of performers. And so that's what we're looking for. We're looking for different sounds. We're looking for new faces, but then also bringing back some of the faces that have been really stationary there. Zoe being one of them, Sarah, Moselle. There's just so many key players to this that really add that charm and magic to the evening. And I can't, like, I always think of the word magic when we talk about it, because every year I'm like, it still presents that same feeling. It's just a room full of love, support, and just so much energy. And I can't explain it any other way.
Yeah. So you're part of the local talent, and it seems like this region is just teeming with women making amazing music. I know you travel frequently. How does our region compare with other places when it comes to the music scene, particularly female musicians?
Well, I mean, this festival is very dear to my heart. I've been working, you know, doing the emceeing and playing since near the beginning, and I really try to not travel when it's happening. I will turn down other gigs to make sure that I'm around, because it, as Courtney said, it's magic. We, you know, I'm from England. I traveled all over the world. Cape Cod is a magic place. It's a village. It's like it's a big village, and I'm so proud of this spit of land and what Sarah and all of the team have created, because we get to show off what we have. It's all the local performers, and then you have national acts coming in, and we all kind of cross-pollinate, and we all inspire each other, and they get to feel the magic, and then they go off and take it. And it is remarkable, Cape Cod. And we, in the summer, we all stay in our little towns. And so, you know, we do travel a bit, but as Sarah said, you know, I'm always playing Provincetown. We're all separated, and it brings us all together, and we get to jam together. And we do have amazing women performers, and often they're obscured for a million reasons. And, you know, I don't need to explain. and we rejoice, and we get to, yeah, we head the bill. The women head the bill. And the guys come and they step up and they see, and the little kids, the little boys see, and the little girls are inspired. And yeah, a butterfly's wing can change the breeze in Africa. And I think that's what happens with this marvelous festival.
Mm. So you brought along a track to share. What can you tell us about it before we hear it?
Well, I got a new album that's just coming out. It's called Blink. It's about grabbing life, because it's so short. If you blink, you're going to miss it. So you must not miss the Cape Cod Women's Music Festival this year. And this is a new song called Step by Step. You know, sometimes you feel hopeless and there's crazy things going on in the world. But it is my belief, one step at a time, in all ways, we can make change and we mustn't give up. And I guess that's what it's an upbeat song, but there's that message in there.
Sometimes life is very, very hard. So many things going on in your backyard. Too much on your plate, your head's exploding. Eggs in your basket need unloading. Bitten off way more than you can chew. Wondering how you'll ever get through. The straw on the camel's back is pretty thin, but a voice in your head says, don't give in. Just one foot after the other, one step at a time. Jump through each hoop as it's put in front of you, and you'll be fine. Hold on to your horses, and eventually, if you keep on going, you'll be just where you're meant to be. Heavy, heavy soul, and you can't climb out of the big black hole. At the end of the tunnel is a shining light, telling you all it's gonna be alright. When your London Bridge is falling down, you can save yourself before you drown. Just keep on swimming, that's the trick. Build it up again, brick by brick. Just one foot after the other, one step at a time. Jump through each hoop as it's put in front of you, and you'll be fine. If you keep on going, you'll be just just where you're meant to be. Away from you, there'll be stones in the wheels, there'll be engines all aflame. Just ride it through. Gets higher, you can dry away your tears and start now, not tomorrow. You don't have to be Superman, you can make it up that mountain. I know you can, just one foot after the other, one step at a time. Jump through each hoop as it's put in front of you, and you'll be fine. Hold on to your horses, and eventually, if you keep on going, you'll be just where you're meant to be.
That was Zoe Lewis performing Step by Step. The headliner for the Women's Festival this year is Gabby Moreno. Sarah, what can you tell us about her?
Oh my gosh. I am so excited. We really went big to celebrate our 10th year. She just won the Grammy for Best Latin Pop Album a couple months ago. She has her hit song, her latest hit song is a duet with Oscar Isaac, who many of us know as an incredible actor. And you can actually check out them performing the song together on Jimmy Fallon, which I highly recommend. And, you know, even though it's a women's music festival, we did say you're free to bring him. but... She is just, I mean, she it has such an incredible career. She's is originally from Guatemala. Now she's based out of LA. And I mean, I think she has 13 albums. She was nominated for Best New Artist in 2013, 2016. I'm sorry if I don't have the date exactly right. But she is just incredibly prolific, and she is one of the few, if not really the only, high visibility Latina voice in Americana music. So it's that's very, very exciting. And she really has used her platform to advance, I feel like, music in a cultural sense, to advance, I think, the visibility for people from and music from other cultures. Weaving into her music is just incredible. I have loved, she just produced an album by Omara Portuondo, who was on the Buena Vista Social Club album, which many people are familiar with. And she's a Cuban queen singer. So I'm so excited to hear Gabby. I mean, she does everything from sing incredible folk ballads in Spanish to cover a rockin' Bob Dylan song. She just does it all. Her albums are like really diverse musically. but her presence in them is so strong and exciting. And I've just loved becoming familiar with her music, and I can't wait. She's coming with her full band. Mm. She's going to play the whole second set this year. So that's going to be a little different.
All right. So let's take a little listen to Gabby Marino.
Tú que me viste cantando, me ves hoy llorando mi desilusión.
Calles bañadas de luna que fueron la cuna de mi juventud.
Vengo a cantarle a mi amada mi luna plateada.
Vengo a cantarle a mi amada mi luna plateada de mi Xelagú.
Noches de pena por una morena de dulce mirar.
Luna de Xelagú,
me diste inspiración.
La canción que te canto, regada con llanto de mi corazón.
Luna de Xelagú, luna que me alumbró,
luna que me alumbró
en mis noches de amor. Hoy consuelas la pena por una morena que me
We're talking with the Cape Cod Women's Music Festival founder, Sarah Swain, along with Courtney Wittenstein from the festival and Provincetown musician and songwriter, Zoe Lewis, and we'll have more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking with Cape Cod Women's Music Festival founder Sarah Swain, Courtney Wittenstein from the festival, and Provincetown musician and songwriter Zoe Lewis. Courtney, the festival isn't just music. There's storytelling and other performance. So describe some of the other elements of the festival.
Well, you know, I think we incorporate Cape Wellness into it. So we hear their perspective on the festival. And then, you know, I think just all through the night, when last year, I just remember walking through the audience during set break and just checking on things, making sure everything was flowing. And I had so many people come up to me and share their personal stories, like, you know, why they're there. And I think that's what makes the room so special. You know, some people are just there to come listen to the music and to be part of the community. But then there are those people who are cancer survivors that have the story, and that it's much more for them. Mm-hmm. How Cape Wellness helped them, how this music festival is helping them. And I think that is really the important thing, is like what is in that audience is so much. And that's where that love and support that I was speaking about comes from. So it's really the personal stories. You don't know who you're sitting next to, you know, and what their story is. And that's what makes this event so important and so special. So, you know, it's, I think you hear that throughout the evening. And that's, yeah, I feel like that's a big part of it. This year we have a lot of really other great performers, like newcomer performers too, that are musicians. Shannon Davis is from Harwich. She just put out an album this year and she's just really going hard in the music scene right now. She is folk and has a beautiful voice, and we're really excited to have her on stage. And then we have Dirty Water Dance Band is going to be helping us close it out. And they're just so much fun. They'll bring you to your feet and dance, and just a bunch of great musician. And Melissa Ayala leads that band. And she's just got a powerhouse of a voice. So we're just excited, and we're excited just to be bringing back those core people that always bring the energy and the fun and the support to our, to the stage this year. It's yeah, it's a good event, and there's not a lot of tickets left. So
you better get on it.
Be sure to get them.
Yeah. So Sarah, as we mentioned, the Cape Cod Women's Festival is a benefit for the Cape Cod Wellness Collaborative. And I know you've passed the baton for running the collaborative, but you gave us a little bit of a sense of some of the supports. Talk a little bit about the supports and services that they're offered free of charge to those living with cancer in our region.
Yeah, it's just been extraordinary to watch that organization continue to grow since I left a couple years ago. It's in the very capable hands of Abby Fields right now. They just opened a new office in Yarmouth, which actually offers some treatments in the office, which is very exciting. Yeah, it's all of these things that are not covered by insurance that really help people through their journey. And, you know, we just really felt like there shouldn't be barriers for feeling better and having all of these really helpful treatments that, you know, it should, there shouldn't be financial barriers. And it's just been so heartening to see how many people jumped on board right away, wanting that empowerment and wanting to feel like they can do something. I know for me and so many people, you know, whether you're dealing with a diagnosis yourself or a loved one, it's that feeling of like helplessness, that there's nothing you can do, that I feel like is just the worst. Mm-hmm. And it just feels so good, like through the music festival, through Cape Wellness, whether you're supporting or you're a client, you can, it's just so empowering. There's something you can do. And, you know, the cool thing too is now there's like been studies that show, like there was a big study that women who did yoga during breast cancer treatment had better outcomes, less pain, better outcomes. People who have Reiki before surgery have better outcomes and less pain. And it's really a quality of life. And also building connections, building community. And it's about people. It's not about the cancer. It's about like supporting the person who's going through the treatment.
Cape Cod Women's Festival is Saturday, June 15th at Payamet Performing Arts in Truro. We're going to post a link with more information at our website, capeandislands.org. Sarah, we're going out on a song written by the great Sarah Burrell titled Rise Above. What do you want to tell us before we hear it?
Oh, I get choked up every time I talk about this song. Sarah played the festival for the first time, I believe it was 2017. And she said, I wrote a song last night for the festival. And Sarah is a breast cancer survivor. And she wrote this song called Rise Above. And she went out there by herself and played it. And it was... like, it was just unbelievable. And it's, she's played it every year at the festival since. And, you know, if that song really makes me believe in the healing power of music, and like that one song has changed people's lives. We've heard it from people. I mean, it is just, it's absolutely like it goes right to the core of your heart, and at the same time lifts you up, and it's just joyful, and it's like everything all at once. I highly recommend it. She's played it, so we've had her. It's become our theme song. And yeah, she's just wonderful, and she will be there playing it again this year.
Sarah Swain, Courtney Wittenstein, and Zoe Lewis, thanks so much for being with us and for doing the festival. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
One huge little word. One huge little word. And your world's upside down. And you can't wrap your head around this until your head stops spinning round. And you breathe in so deep. That there's not enough air. And you take one more step and lean on the love that's there. And you open your heart and you know what you'll find. From the ground up through your fingertips, put your hands in our hands. We'll walk together strong. And we'll kick some ass. We'll rise above. And we'll carry on. You stare into space. It's all dazed and the dark, and you walk through that door, and you meet a you you never knew and never needed before. And you open your heart and you kicks out.